John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Probably one of the most famous verses that people know in the Bible. You know, today we celebrate Easter. Of course, if you're a Christian, you celebrate Easter every day that you get up, you know. It's your life, right? That Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again for you. And so it's what gives us our new spiritual life. Nobody questions the what of today. What? Yeah. Jesus died, right? They put him in the tomb, and then today we celebrate that he came back to life. He did the miraculous. Nobody denies that. You know, even history proves quite a bit about Jesus Christ, even if people don't believe the Bible, right? So the what is not in question. But I think what people miss on Easter is the why. What is this all about? Why did it take place? So check this out. There is three characters in this story. You can see for God, God would be one, love two, the world. That would be you and me, everybody that's in the world. That he gave his only begotten Son. Those are the three characters in this story. It's God, it's his Son Jesus Christ, and it's you and me. There's two outcomes to this story. There's two outcomes for life. And you can see where it says that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. There's two outcomes here to this story, and there's a perishing, there's a death, and there's life. And kind of like back in the day when you'd rent like DVDs, you know, and some of them would even advertise on the front of it, says, you know, there's like alternate endings, you know. Like you would get the choice which way you wanted to go with this story, you know. And nobody likes that, you know, like at the end of the story, you got the hero and they die. You know, nobody cares for that. It like leaves you in the credits roll and you're just like, this is odd. Like I'm half depressed on this thing, right? Well, this story, the story of life, the Bible says that there's two outcomes of this story and we have a choice today. It's your choice which way you want to go. You can perish or you can have everlasting life. Let me work this thing a little bit. The initiator of this whole thing is God. For God. The Bible teaches that the God of the Bible is the creator of it all. Ephesians 3:9, right? He's eternal. He was not created. He has always been. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. He's unchanging. He's righteous. And he is holy. This is the God of the Bible. But here enters like the negative to this story. The world. You and me. You know, when God created the first person, Adam, and he put him in a garden, the Bible says that God and Adam had fellowship. They had a relationship together. They had a friendship. And there was one thing God said, hey, watch this over here. Do not take of that. One forbidden fruit, and of course, what did man do? We know how the story goes. Man took this fruit, and all of a sudden, God said, okay, you're out. Before God sent him out, by the way, God did kill a lamb and put some clothes on him, which is cool, which we'll end this story with. But all of a sudden, they're separated. From that point on, you've got God, and you've got mankind. Mankind was never supposed to die. A lot of people don't get that. Man was supposed to live forever, right? On planet Earth, man's soul still lives forever. But man was supposed to live forever in this state, perfect in a relationship with God. So just to let everybody know something, this is how it's supposed to be. Man is supposed to have a relationship with God. But sin entered in, and now everybody is born in sin, all of us. This is what the Bible says. It don't matter what you do. Sometimes we like to label some killer over here and just say, what an awful lady, man. Do you know what she's done? Well, the Bible says it's really not about what you've done. It's who you are. We're born with human blood, right? Why did God have to love this world? Well, let me tell you why. Because when mankind chose sin, there's a great gulf that separates God and man. We are separated from God. It's like the Grand Canyon, you know. God is over here and man is over here. And it is like impossible to bridge the gap. It's impossible to make our way to Him. It's humanly impossible to be good enough. Matter of fact, the Bible says this about the whosoever's, the you and me's in this story. It says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned. We just fall short of the glory of God. So even in your best behavior, if you think when you get to heaven, God's going to put the good and bad scale out and put that on there, you're thinking, man, I've been good. I really never killed anybody before, you know? I don't know why I'm on killing people all of a sudden today. But I've never done that, you know? Well, Jesus comes on the scene and says, hey, there's a deeper problem. Have you ever had hate in your heart? Of course, everybody. Has anybody had hate in their heart in the room? Everybody would have hate in their heart. And Jesus said, you know what that is? That's the very beginning of murder. I've never cheated on my wife. Have you ever looked at another woman inappropriately? And most men would say, well, Jesus says, yeah. See, I look deeper than what you've done. It's who you are. So God is over here in all of His righteousness and holiness, and mankind is a great distance away with all of our sinfulness. And the Bible says we fall short. I love Isaiah 64:6. It just says this. Even our very best, all of the righteousness that we can summons up is as filthy rags in the sight of God. We just can't hang. It's a holiness and a righteousness that we don't even understand. And the Bible says because of that sinfulness, the Bible says, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. A couple things are for sure in this room today. All of us are sinners. Nobody's exempt from that. And our sin leads to death. Everybody in this room is going to die. Now, it was never supposed to be that way. The difference maker was when sin entered the planet. And we are sinners. We got one thing in common. It's sin. And then our sin is going to lead us to death. God tells His people in Isaiah 59, it is your sin that has separated you and God. Sin, we're separated from God. And this is why now what we can see, it says, God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. He throws the word perish in there because you know what mankind that's born in sin does? We perish. We're going to die. That's it. That's the bad news. Sin and death. You know, the word perish, anytime they like raise food for people, they always say, bring a non-perishable food item. Non-perishable, what's that? Basically food in a can or food in a box. The food they say that's bad for you. You eat too much of that, it's bad news, man. You will be so unhealthy. Isn't that funny how that works? Because the best foods for us, they go quickly, don't they? And so we want to do everything we can to preserve them. This is exactly the problem with man. Man does everything he can to try to get to God, to be at peace, to be happy. He'll do anything he can and he'll work that thing. And that's why we salt things and we make things in labs and then put it in a box and sell it. And now all the health nuts are telling us, hey, avoid all that garbage. That is man's attempt at things never going bad. Man wants to live forever. The Bible says eternity's in our hearts. The two biggest fears on the planet, but the first one is the fear of death. Somebody said it, or they said, death! It's true. Everybody's afraid of death. Perish. Ruin. Destruction. That word just means short-lived. God is over here. Mankind is over here. And because of our sin, we're going to die or we're going to perish. We hardly have anything left. Let me give you three words that the word perish, the way it's translated in the New Testament. Three different ways it's translated. You ready? The first one. Matthew 2:13. He uses the word destroy. Basically, taking something that it's beyond repair or renewal. It's beyond that. Same word as perish. The Bible says that mankind is headed towards perishing or destruction. And as much as you want to fix your life and make it better, we can't. Because the best we do falls short, right? Matthew 10:6, another word it uses, it talks about lost sheep, that word lost, it's the same Greek word as the word perish. So the Bible says, you know why God loved the world? Why God gave a son? Mankind is destroyed, man. We've ruined it. Ain't no politician coming along and make it any better. It's not going to happen, right? We're lost. We don't know our way. Mankind is lost. And the last word is Matthew 16. Perish is translated lose. This is something people don't like to deal with because we've entered into several generations now where everybody's a winner. And I know that because I coached at the YMCA. And when the kids are yay big, no score, and everybody's a winner. You guys all did so great. Son, I got news for you. You shot at that basket 12 times and never hit the rim. Was it all net? No, you never hit the backboard. You never got a point. That is not good. Why do we tell people that? Right? And then at the end of the inning, you're like, okay, everybody run the bases. Why? Because you're such a loser, you'll never get to go through the bases, right? The Bible says we're perishing. It's hard to admit you're a loser. But the bottom line is once mankind chose sin, guys, we're born losers. And I know that's so contrary to culture. We're born lost. Don't know. We're born in destruction. We are born beyond repair. That's the bad news. So you can see that God loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. Now we know this. The world is going to perish. Whosoever is going to perish. The best part of the story is God came in with His love. God loved the world. Did He gave His Son. We know that Jesus died and was buried and resurrected. But why? The why is because we're perishing. Everybody wants to talk about how God is sweet and syrup and love. Nobody ever wants to talk about you're going to perish. Why? Because a holy God does not tolerate sin and He will not tolerate me or you. It's against Him. You're separated. 1 John 4:8 just says this. It don't say God is all about love. It says God's very nature at His core is love. It's His character trait. God is love. That's why a group of people, human beings that are sinful against Him, that broke all of His laws, we are totally separated from Him. And God looks, you know what God does? He loves. Most religions in the world say, hey, I am God, work your way to me. Come to church and give your money. Get baptized. Do whatever. Pray three times a day. Do whatever you got to do. Do you work your way to me? The Bible says, cannot be done. Impossible. There's only one bridge that can get mankind to God. There's only one bridge that can get sinfulness and death and perishing to everlasting life into a holy God. That bridge is called love. That bridge is called God's only Son. The bridge is Jesus. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man. And who is it? It's the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus paid the price. So God loved the world. I'm so thankful God loved the unlovable. God loved them. That's what makes Him God, doesn't it? It's easy to love people who love you. God says, they're my enemies. And He loves. He'll do anything He can to get you and me bridged over to Him. Because we can't do it on our own. 1 Corinthians 15 is the good news. We've talked a bunch of bad news today. The good news about this day is this. We are born in sin. We're going to die. And there ain't nothing we can do about it. So God, who loved us so much, He gave His only Son. Because God Himself did something about it. God can do something about it and has. What He did on the cross is He took our sins. Sin leads to death. God Himself went through a death. 3 days later, He miraculously comes back to life. And then He says this. We got the word perish in here, but this thing ends. But you don't have to perish. But you can have everlasting life. That life comes through Jesus. That life comes through Christ. This is what Christianity is all about. This is what we celebrate today. You know why the resurrection is so vital? Because if Jesus didn't resurrect from the grave, we are completely hosed. There's no winning here. What do we just hope for? Good morality and a nice life? do you enter retirement and have good health and die in your sleep? Wouldn't that be nice? Doesn't work that way, does it? It sure doesn't. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, paid. He purged our sins. He became the propitiation, right? He gave us redemption. He died and then resurrected, and the Bible just says this. Now, if you want to go from perishing to life, just put your faith and your trust in me. That's what being a Christian is, right? The Bible says that. This is how we do this. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, it takes beyond just the word belief, because a lot of people believe. What? Believe it? You believe in Jesus? Yeah, I know Jesus. Guys, there's religions in the world that would tell you that Jesus was a good prophet. Don't think you're something by just saying, I know what? I believe Jesus Christ. Yeah, history would prove that. But to believe that he was God and he bridged a gap of our sin, of perishing to eternal life, that's another ball game. That's entering into a relationship, meeting Christ. And I love John 10:28. Jesus says this, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. 2 Peter 3:9, it says that God is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody to perish. That's why he was willing to sell out Jesus for you and me. For God, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The whosoever's needs to go through a process of belief in the Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to have eternal life. Jesus Christ is the mediator to this story. So, what? Yeah, Jesus died, buried, and resurrected. That's why we're here, right? Jesus resurrected. Or it's, you know, bunnies going around laying eggs everywhere. You can go that route too if you want to, which is really ridiculous. Think of that. Follow that process through and see where it gets you. It's kind of really, really strange if you think about it. You know, the most fertile animal on the planet's going around popping eggs in everybody's yard. Strange. Very strange. I just like there's candy in it, right? That's why we go that route. Really. But the Bible says this day, the what? Yeah, Jesus resurrected from the grave. The why? Because without it, we are men most miserable. There's no hope. We just got perishing. I'm perishing. The Bible says life is but a vapor. I'm dying very quickly. It's coming on me. We're perishable. That's human beings. He says, but we can take this to another level. I loved you so much. He gave Christ life. And he became the bridge, and you can go from perishing to everlasting life. Let's play that video, Jordan.
Long before the beginning of all other beginnings, God is. In a burst of creative activity, God creates the world and everything in it. Humans are designed to live inside of this unique relationship, but they choose otherwise. The law of God is broken, and the heart of God is pierced. But the story isn't over. In the fullness of time, God gives his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Jesus comes to seek and save those who are lost. Wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. On the cross, God is in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And with a loud cry, Jesus breathes his last. But the story isn't over. On the morning of the third day, the power of the living God erupts, breaking through death with the moment that will defy all other moments. Perched at the edge of heaven, the angels stand in awe as one of their own rolls away the stone that's guarding the body of Jesus. As if anything can guard Jesus. He walks out of the tomb alive. He is victorious. He is conquering death and rendering the grave unnecessary. He is living and moving and breathing as only the risen Son of God can. But the story isn't over. We are, every one of us, searching and hoping and longing for life. It's a desire that's been deposited into our souls by the very same God who spoke it all into existence. And it's this exact life that the resurrection of Jesus invites us into. So bring your hopes, your regrets, your successes and your failures. Bring your doubts, your joys, your fears, and your dreams. Be resolute and unwilling to settle for anything less than the abundant life of the risen King. Because truly, if the story isn't over, then what happens next might just change everything.
I got one more story for you before we get out of here. And basically, this is a story back in the late 1800s. There's a guy named Charles Blondin, and he became pretty famous for... There's a great gulf, like not the Grand Canyon. This would be Niagara Falls. Some 160 feet above the falls, several times back and forth between Canada and the United States, they'd gather huge crowds and string a cable over. And this guy was a tight rope walker. That's what he would do. He would rock across the falls, and it just people would gather and just freaked out, man. Once he did it in a sack, like a burlap sack. Once he walked clear across the falls, he did that on stilts. Once he rode a bicycle over. One time he carried a camping stove and cracked an egg, cooked an omelet by the time he got to the other side. Yeah, unbelievable. But on July 15th, what he did is he walked backwards across the tightrope from the U.S. to Canada. When he got to the other side, he grabbed a wheelbarrow. And this wheelbarrow he took over and he wheeled the tightrope. He walked it with this wheelbarrow. The crazy thing is, he pushed it across and then he said, "Blindfold me and I can do it again." And then he said, "Can I have some audience participation?" Of course, the crowd is going wild at this point, you know. He had already proved he could do it. He could do so many things, you know, that people were like, "Yes, we know you can do it." So now he decided to ask for a volunteer from the crowd if they would get in the wheelbarrow and take the ride across with him. See, he said to his audience, "Do you believe that I can carry a person across in this wheelbarrow?" And everybody screams and applauds and says, "Yes, we believe." And he said then, "Who will get inside?" None. Nobody took him up on it. This is just the offer today. This is what Christianity is giving today. Do we believe that Jesus Christ died, took our sin and led to death? He died, he was buried, and 3 days later rose to resurrection life. Quite a few people will say, "I believe that." Now the question is, will you get in? You got to know Christ. That's what being a Christian is. It's placing your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Don't get hung up on just the word believe. There's a lot of things we believe and it don't make a bit of difference in our lives. What needs to happen today is Romans 10:9-10 says, if you really believe the story with your heart, the Bible says you can believe in your heart, but then you confess with your mouth and then salvation comes. It takes that act of confessing with your mouth. John 1:12 says, it's just not believing, you got to receive Jesus Christ. That's what becoming a Christian is, gang. Get in the wheelbarrow today. Know Jesus Christ today. Place your faith and trust in Him today. It's as simple as your heart believing what the Bible says and then by faith you praying and receiving Him. That's it. That's what being a Christian is. It's not what you do. It's not about being perfect people. It's about knowing the perfect one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together right now. Guys, I need to give a formal invitation here because I don't want to let this moment slip by. I remember the day that I was in sin and the day I was perishing, and a guy opened up God's Word and showed me that Jesus Christ paid a price for me. And if I would put my faith and my trust in Him, that He would take my sin and take my death and give me eternal life. I've never looked back, man. I have never looked back. So today I want to give you a challenge of faith. If you do not know Jesus Christ today, oh, you know the what behind today. The why is it was done for you because your sin is making you. You're very perishable. You're going to die. And the Bible says Jesus will give you eternal life. Is there anybody in this room? And what I'd like you to do is I would just like you to raise your hand and say, I want to be saved. I want to meet Jesus Christ. This is the why behind the resurrection. I need to know him. Yeah, if you don't know him, it's not going to end well for you. There's two outcomes here. Choose everlasting life. Choose Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Is there anybody by a show of hands that you would just raise your hand and say, I will accept this invitation. I need Jesus Christ. Just pop up your hand. You're like, this is uncomfortable. Yeah, it kind of is. I'm not going to joke, it is. It was for me too. Is there anybody in this room that would say, I'm going to get in the wheelbarrow. I need a Savior. Anybody? We got one. Oh, do you want to get a teacher to hook up and go? Is there anybody else that needs Christ, man, that you need a Savior? Anybody? Hey, Mel, you guys are welcome to go back if you want to with them. You want to? Okay, yeah. Feel free to do that. Is there anybody else here that needs a Savior today? You need Christ? Anybody? This is the why. We need it because the Bible says we're going to perish. Jesus, thank you. Today, thank you so much. For taking our sin, for dying, and for resurrecting. Lord, we're thankful today. We want to celebrate you today. We want to praise your holy name because, God, without you, destruction. Without you, we're just losers. We're lost. And so, Jesus, we want to thank you, give you all glory and honor. You're the one that bridged the gap. It's you. It's not us being good. It's you. God, thank you for loving us so much that you were willing to sacrifice Christ for us and that we could have eternal life. I'm thankful today for those of us in this room that know you. We are not going to perish. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.